Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Stock Market Today. It's Ali Quorum and Mike Webster here with a breakdown of the action, not only in today's session, but as the week unfolded. You know, we're going to be walking you through and providing a game plan for the week ahead. And welcome back, Webby. It's great to have you, our senior market strategist here at IBD. You know, we're getting the band back together, and it's only fitting to have you as my Friday co-host for Stock Market Today. So welcome back.
Wow, it's like old times, Ali.
It really is. It really is. You know, almost 4 years later.
It was so much fun. Like earlier today, we were watching the video the last time we did it, and I'd forgotten how cool it was. So I'm excited that we're going to be doing this every Friday, right?
Yeah, every Friday. It was our stock market update. Now we're just going to roll it into our Friday Stock Market Today video, and I couldn't be happier about it. And Ed will be missed in the Friday Stock Market Today slot, but the audience is in luck because we have a new show with Ed and our very own Alexis Garcia, Earnings Cheat Sheet. So that first episode came out this morning, and every Friday they're going to be walking you through what you need to know about earnings season. So Ed and Lexi, we are excited for that for you guys. And again, we're very excited for the Friday Stock Market Today show. So let's get right into it. We have a lot to unpack here, Webby. So first, starting out with market surge, we could take a look at today's action. And we've got a lot of charts to go through on the daily, weekly, intraday, but just starting out at today's action. So the NASDAQ today closed up 1.2%. We had the S&P 500, which I'm showing here, up 1.1% on the day, the Dow up 0.8%, and the Russell 2000 up about 0.4% headed into the close. But I know, Webby, since the S&P 500 has been the strongest index relative, especially to the NASDAQ, we've been focused more on that lately. So we'll start here. Any comments on the daily action or the weekly action in market surge before we take a look at some of the bells and whistles you have on your screens?
Well, can we just erase yesterday? Can we
start? I know. It stands out. It stands out on that chart for sure.
Yeah. So whether you're looking at this chart now or you're looking at it 6 months from now, this yesterday's action is really, like you said, it's going to stand out. That was, you know, normally we do like a detail analysis on every single day during the week, but really it was all about yesterday. And so we'll let's just kind of address that. So we were coming into today's big jobs number. And of course, everyone has been so focused on the Fed and you know, when they're going to cut, you know, how much longer until they're going to cut, or are they not going to cut at all this year? So when you had Fed speakers talking yesterday, as well as a lot of movement going on in the oil market, you know, related to, you know, tensions overseas, things started selling. And in my personal opinion, I think a lot of times what happens is the news reading algos out there that just trade off of, they're just reading what's happening, what's the news that's happening. They either buy or sell based off of keywords. And I think some of the Fed speak that was happening right at the same time that the oil market was spiking kind of just started this cascading effect where the market just started selling, the algos hit it. It just kind of accelerated through, and we were all looking, just going, where's the news? Is there anything really significant? But, you know, there's Bill's old saying, there's the quick and the dead. So you kind of, you know, start taking action right away. And, you know, yesterday you needed to take some action, and that's something probably for a different podcast or webinar, but really of knowing ahead of time which stocks need to go first. So I always like to rate my stocks from A to C, sell your C ones off first. But anyways, getting back to this chart, what you asked me about, we've been in this nice power trend for, you know, for months. It's one of the, you know, the longer ones, certainly not the longest one. But of course, at times you're going to have to test that. You know, the markets are never easy. And yesterday was really our test. Today was nice that we bounced up, but it didn't really bounce up enough to give us any conviction that, you know, that we're not going to pause here. So my first you know, kind of look at the market is that yesterday's action kind of changes the tone to now we're playing more defense than offense. Going, you know, for the last several weeks or several months, you were wanting to play offense. Now you're switching to defense, but it's not major defense, but we have enough warning signs that we'll talk about.
Exactly. Okay. And we'll just take a look at the weekly chart here for the S&P, because it's always good to take that step back, give some context. So in terms of where we closed in the range for the week here, we did close off lows. We're still above the 10-week line. But as you said, Webby, I mean, this is a very strong power trend that we've had. We've been running for a while. We're going to be checking back in and a little bit later on in the show on a precedent from 2003, just to see how we're tracking with that. But I think always good to have that context. But now let's go to your charts, because you have some different levels that you're watching, and just the candlesticks provide that even more detailed look at where we closed relative to where we opened and traded throughout the day. So Webby, I want to go there. And we also have some regression channel lines that we're going to be talking about as well. But once again, on this view here for the S&P daily chart, that bar on Thursday definitely stands out. I know you're always talking about expectation breakers or changes in character and what you might expect to see after that. So as you were saying earlier, you looked at how that retracement was going to potentially unfold. So let's dig a little bit more into that and what you're seeing today versus where we closed yesterday.
Okay. So just before we get into the 50% retracement, let's just glance at the regression lines that we have on here. And so this is a regression line is just simply a line of best fit, and it's another way of seeing a trend. And without getting into the nitty-gritty of how it calculated, it's just, you know, one standard deviation above and one standard deviation below this white line, which is your line of best fit. So it gives you a sense of when are things getting too hot or you know, getting too soft. And so now, yesterday, you can see that we tested this green line, which is your one standard deviation below your regression line. And so that's typically an area where you'd be looking at and saying, okay, you're going to reload and get ready for it to go back up, up to the regression line and maybe back up to near that red line, which is one standard deviation above it. But the way it did right. it is different, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a gradual, it was like it broke through it. Now today we had a little bit of a bounce, and the bounce, as you were saying about the 50% retracement, it's a little bit easier to see on an intraday, which I'm going to toggle over to, but I just want everyone to know what I'm looking at is going to be really this bar from the high of yesterday to the low of yesterday. So let's go over to a 60-minute chart, and we're just going to do a little 50% retracement on that to see where that would put us. We're just looking at the high from yesterday and the low. This red line is the middle. That's the 50% retracement. Can you see that on there?
Yeah, we've got it. And of course, we closed right around that level.
Right there. So for those who don't know how I like to use the 50% retracement, it's something Bill used it. He kind of used different terminology for it, but he used it more on weekly charts. When a stock would break out, he would say, you know, it can pull back in at least half of that move and still be normal. And I use that same concept, whether I'm looking at a monthly chart, a daily, weekly, or an intraday basis. And so it's a concept that really helps a lot in knowing, is that trend still intact? So imagine a stock is breaking out and it runs up a bunch. Well, it's going to retrace. And how much does it retrace? It tends to retrace about 50% of that move before it goes higher. Once it goes below 50%, then you're in trouble. So we're just flipping that in reverse, but doing it on an intraday basis, saying that from yesterday's high to yesterday's low, it was this huge spread. we don't really know that that trend, that new short-term trend of down, is broken until you start trading back above that middle point or the 50% retracement, which is this red line here. So of course, we just kind of closed right there because just it seems like the market just doesn't know yet what it wants to do. So it bounced up a little bit, but not up enough to give us a feeling of confidence that we're out of the woods. So we're still in a weak state until we can start trading above this area, above that initial 50% retracement. Does that make sense?
It definitely does. And then how do you also factor in, Webby, the fact that, okay, so we did recover a little bit. We were up. So I guess it's better than having another big bad down day after Thursday's rough action. But how do you factor in not only that 50% retracement, but also just the fact that it was an inside day? Does that also just add to that uncertainty that you were speaking to?
Well, that's a great question. So the inside day is a good thing. So an inside day, meaning the high and the low is contained within yesterday, is telling you you're closer to equilibrium, right? Because there was no new price discovery. We didn't go outside of yesterday's trading range in either direction. So that's telling you that yesterday's big sell-off was probably an overreaction to people, to the news and people really not knowing what's going on. Now they're going to have a full weekend to kind of dissect today's jobs data, what happened, what's going on in the world, you know, all the information with the Fed's, all the new Fed speak, and process that. And we'll get more really info on Monday of what they've decided. So this is kind of, you know, a little bit of a cliffhanger on here because it, to me, it feels like we want to go down to your 50 day. But what's nice about it is we're not just falling apart to that. We had that initial bounce, but I wouldn't say that we're back off to the races at all. Mm-hmm. I still think you need to be playing your defense. And you kind of, at this point, you assume that we're going to go lower until proven otherwise. So one of the things that you would be looking at is getting back above that 50, I've toggled back to the daily, back above this red line on here. That's your 50% retracement of Thursday's move, but also getting your low back above the 21-day exponential. We got our close above it today, which was very important, but our low wasn't above it. And that's really a sign. You can see that our low was above this blue line here, this pretty much most of this move, if not the entire move. And then yesterday was the first break of it. So to really know we're out of the woods, we want a full day's trading where the low maintains above that.
Right. And you've put in a ton of research into the 21-day line on the index level, healthy power trend markets, and where we're trading versus that as a signal that you use. One more thing on the regression channels before we move on, because we will get questions. The anchor points for the regression channel, January 18th and March 27th. And as Webby said, one standard deviation above and below for that. So speaking of...
For the hardcore folks out there, 99% of the people don't turn off your sound, you don't have to hear it, but I use the high plus the low divided by 2 for my regression. So if you know what that is, then you know what it is. If not, don't worry. It's just tech jargon.
No, that sounds great. I remember you mentioning that actually for IBD Live. Okay. So since we were talking about the low versus the 21-day line, let's give everyone an update on the Webby RSI if we could.
Sure. So this is the spiders and this is the Webby RSI down here on the bottom. And what that is that's just an indicator that I came up with to visualize what I was seeing with a healthy market. And so since we don't have an hour to talk about what it is, in a nutshell, this blue line down here, this little blue bar, that is measuring your distance between the low of the bar and your 21-day exponential. And so you want that to be high, but just not too high, kind of a like a nice space in there. And I measure this in terms of average true range instead of percent. So
that was version 1.0. This is 5.15.
Yeah, version 5.150.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the major changes that I did there, because what that allowed me to do was to compare the stock or index versus itself. So if you were looking at, let's say this, the Qs versus the TQQ, they would be about the same because they're measured relative to how volatile the stock is. So over here, I've got this line here is one ATR above it. This is two ATRs above it. And over here is three ATRs. So once you get your low versus your 21 day, three ATRs, that basically means you're getting a little too hot.
Unless it's at the beginning of a turn.
Wow, you pay attention to everything. Don't you? I can get anything past you. Yeah. So at the beginning of a move, you want to see a thrust, right? You want to see a big, we had this three waves down over here, one wave, two waves, three waves, and you want to see some power initially. Otherwise, it's just kind of a mediocre bounce. And we'll toggle over to the Qs and see, you know, that basically did the same thing. It just went up a little bit higher than what SPY did. And while we're on this, you can see the relative strength line on the Qs, which is measured versus SPY, has been flat to going down. That's why we've been, as you mentioned, focusing on SPY instead. So in a nutshell, to kind of wrap this point up, we're waiting for the little blue bar on here to appear again. And that would be our low is back above our 21 day. And then we want to see how that ends up trading. Does it end up doing like what it did here, where you've got a lot of days in there? Or is it just, you know, it's there, then it goes away, there, then it goes away? That would mean that your low is above your 21 day, and then you come back below it. That's telling you that your trend is starting to fade, right? And that is, it's getting choppy. You're probably getting chopped up. So that all these things that we're looking at, don't get hung up in all the jargon that I'm saying, that it's more, we're looking for the sweet spot, the easy time to trade. Right. And unfortunately, right now at this moment, that's not what it is. This is the time you want to hold your winners, as long as they're not giving you any sell signals, but you're not really looking to be aggressive. There are some things, you know, out there that were buyable today. I sat on my hands today because it didn't do any buying, because I just wanted to see, wait for that low to get back above the 21 day. And, you know, we'll see, even if it's not above it on Monday, as long as we don't fall apart, then I'll probably be back in there nibbling and adding a little bit. But I'm not going to get aggressive until our low gets back above our 21 day, which will translate into this Webby RSI starting to go higher.
Great. Some critical, actionable nuggets there. Awesome. Thank you so much, Webby. And now we want to pivot back to market surge. And Webby, I want to ask you about QQQ and RSP, because we've been looking at SPY and the NASDAQ composite. So any thoughts here on QQQ and RSP before we take a look at that 2003 precedent?
Let's take a look at the RSP real quick. And for people who, you know, the RSP doesn't get a lot of press, and that's, you know, because for all sorts of reasons, but all that is just equally weighted S&P 500 versus SPY is market cap weighted. So although you've heard about the Mag 7 over the last year dominating the move up, you know, you see that in SPY, but you don't see it in RSP because everything is created equal there. Right. And so it's something that I like to look at as kind of a measure of breadth in seeing, is it just Microsoft and Apple and Nvidia that's driving everything, or is it all of the stocks? So yesterday's action was really poor there with RSP, and our bounce was mediocre today. So that's another kind of negative telling you that, you know what, maybe we still need to put in some time lower or chopping around sideways, because that, I think that's a fair measurement of breadth using the RSP.
Great. Okay. So you were talking about the current action looking like we could see more of a pullback to the 50-day line in the cards, given with how this week's action unfolded. So now I want to go to a historical precedent that we've been tracking for the NASDAQ Composite Webby, and that is what we saw in 2003. So I'm just going to change date to 2004. We can even zoom out here a little bit and zoom back in as needed, but we want to be taking a look at this July-August period where we did get that test and undercut of the 50-day line. This was a power trend, and I believe about 5 months in, the move was up 28% or so, and that tracks very closely to what we've been seeing in the current market. So over to you and your thoughts on using this precedent to help us anticipate what we could potentially see in the current market.
Yeah. So precedent analysis, if you don't use it as part of your normal work, you should. It was one of the things that was a big part of what Bill, and who was Bill?
IABD founder Bill O'Neill, but also founder of many other companies. He wrote How to Make Money in Stocks. Those are sort of more relevant to IABD things. But of course, he did a lot more than that. Definitely a pioneer of an investor. As an
I say, he's the, you know, the inventor of all, as far as I'm concerned, of our world of trading and how we look at things, right? And so he would look at the precedent analysis to guide him. And so what that means is you look at the past and you see, you know, what can you find that looks like what's going on now, whether it's an individual stock, which he was great at. He would say, oh, you know, this looks just like XYZ stock from 1963. That he was known for that, of just that visual memory. And it was the same thing with the market. And so that's what we're doing with this 2003 example of saying, okay, our current market, we had three waves down. We turned, rallied, and had this nice power trend. And the same thing happened back then. We had three waves down, turned, and it was right after a terrible bear market, the you know, the 2000-2002 bear market, right? And then it went up, and then it had this corrective portion of the three waves down that you can see there in the March of 2000. And that was important to happen, because it kind of, we had that initial bounce off from October of 2002 up, and that was a huge bounce on a percentage basis and really fast. And so people kind of got excited, like, oh, it's back, like the heydays again. And then you needed to kind of just get rid of that kind of that greed. And that's what that three waves down did. And that's what we just had in our current market. So then it turned, went up, and then it just needed to pause sometimes to kind of get rid of that extra, you know, kind of euphoria, or what Arnie likes to say, his giddy factor from IBD Live. And so that's kind of what happened there in July and August, where you have that little mini double bottom in the test of the 50-day. And that was constructive in what I think we're in for. But that's just my opinion based off this precedent. If it doesn't happen, I will throw this precedent to the side and just deal with whatever the market is really doing. So that's an important key when you're looking at precedents, is know when the precedent breaks, stop using it, but keep using it until it breaks. And right now it's been working. It looks like we're going to test that 50-day, but what's nice is if it follows this precedent, it doesn't get ugly. It just kind of tests it, people realize we're still in a bull market, and then a few days later, you go higher. So if it tracks this, that's what we're in for, probably maybe a rough week or two, and then, you know, restarting the advance. We'll take it day by day, though.
Exactly. I think that's key. And just to put some numbers to this, too, I believe from that peak in July to that little bottom here in August. I think that was a 7.6% correction on on the index level. So, you know, just because we do have a potential precedent doesn't give people, you know, the full liberty to just pretend like, all right, well, this is going to turn out exactly the same. I don't need to take action on my stocks because we are going to recover, right, Webby? I mean, that's essentially what you were saying with the precedent analysis. You don't, it's not a crystal ball, but it is a potential blueprint.
If you can order a crystal ball off of Amazon for me and have it sent, I will give you my address.
Yeah.
There is
whoever out there, they can send one to both of us.
Yeah. But this is as close to one as you'll get. It's, so it's just a roadmap. It's an idea of what's happened in the past. People can look at 2009 as well. We don't have to do it today, but this kind of a similar action after you turned, you went up for a while, started a power trend, then had a test of the 50-day. It's just the way the market works. You don't go straight up. You don't want it to go straight up. You needed to have some constructive phases.
Yeah, exactly. So we will be keeping an eye out for something like this potentially to unfold, and we'll have to see what we get. But, you know, a lot of people right now, Webby, are talking about the factors fueling the market rally. So going back to today, you know, we have the AI boom, of course. But we also had this backdrop of the expectation of rate cuts. And I think that was in terms of digesting this week's action and just and talking about what we saw unfold, it seemed like there were a lot of headlines. Of course, that's what sparked Thursday's move. But it does seem like we are starting to hear more. You know, earlier this year, it was six or seven cuts. Then, you know, three or four. Now, you know, one maybe after the election. So what are your thoughts on the shifting sort of headlines around rate cuts and how you are or aren't factoring that into your decision-making process?
Well, I am and I'm not. I pay attention to it because it's fun. I dig the Fed speak and paying it, you know, trying to think what Powell is going to do and all of that. But it's kind of like a hobby to do that. But I don't really try to use that with my market analysis. So if you're going to ask me what I think that people should go out and read Volcker's book, which is Powell's favorite book. I think it was called Keeping At It. I've read it a few times. And that's the roadmap that that I believe Powell is going to use. So I don't think he's going to be cutting anytime soon. He's going to wait and, you know, kind of do what he tends to do, wait too long to take action. That's just my personal opinion. That means nothing. That's just one person. Everyone's got an opinion on what Powell is going to do or is not going to do. What is important is what the price and the price is doing with the market. And so that's what we want to focus on. But we do want to take into context of why is the market moving somewhere? Okay, the market was moving a lot yesterday because there was some Fed speak going on as well as some other information. So we know that the market is focused on that. I don't think people have come to grips yet with what Powell is really going to do. He doesn't want to go down in the history books as Arthur Burns, which was, you know, way back in the day, who did not do a good job. He wants to walk away having, you know, taken care of inflation. So that's my 2 cents on it. It's probably not even worth 1 cent because he's going to do whatever he's going to do. We're just going to follow what the market is actually doing, not my opinion or anybody else's.
Well, I think it was worth at least $5.15.
See what you did there. Well played. Well played.
All right. Well, now let's talk about levels that we're watching. I can zoom in and out. I can go to the weekly. Sure. That So go ahead.
Yeah, with the levels, you always want to look at big round numbers. So the 16,000 on NASDAQ, that's where everyone is going to think psychologically. But look at you with your line. That's exactly, you know, right, because it coincides with your 50-day. It coincides with a lot of that area over there where it was kind of a floor, kind of a squishy floor. And so once we break that, which would be actually helpful and constructive because it would get, you want to shake people out in the market. So it'd be nice if we can get under that 16,000. We just don't want to get too far under it, because if we get too far under it, then it kind of is broken. And then we have to have a longer corrective phase for it to work out, because things don't go way down and straight back up very often. We had that back in the COVID bottom, but that was very unique and rare. When they go down a lot, they tend to take more time. So ideally, we would do like what happened in 03, what happened in 09, where you just come under it maybe for a week or two under the 50-day and under the 16,000. Yeah, with those little lines like that, that would be a nice thing for the market to do. It would also let bases set up and give us some nice buy points. So this would be the perfect time to be running your screens. When you're running screens in market surge, I like using the closing price, which is just where did the bar close within the range. If it closed at the top, it's 100%. If it closed at the bottom, it's zero. And then in the middle, it would be 50. So the higher, the better. So when you run your screens this weekend, I would use anything that closed at a 75% or higher closing range today. Put more weight on those, of putting them in your watch list, because that's a sign of strength. Also use your weekly closing range, which is an option within market surge. So those are great things to tools to use when you're doing your weekend scans.
More great actionable info there, Webby. Thank you so much. Do we want to also take a look at the S&P and key levels that you're watching there?
Yeah, so the S&P, as growth traders, we tend to focus more on the NASDAQ. But the average guy and gal out there who's running, big money, big funds, mutual funds, hedge funds, their bogey is the S&P. So you want to focus there. And a pullback all the way to the 5,000 level would be, that would be pretty dramatic. I think that might be overdoing it, but certainly coming down underneath that 50 day would be enough of a corrective phase. And I think that could certainly be in the cards over the next week or two on the downside. But also, because we did have that bounce up today, that might not happen at all. We might just chop around where yesterday's low ends up being the low of just kind of a channel, or like a kind of little shelf of just going sideways. That would be nice, but I think less likely. But certainly that would be ideal. That's what I would want. But you can't always get what you want, is what I've heard.
Yeah, but you get what you need.
You're on fire.
Okay, well, we've spent a lot of time talking about potential downside levels to watch, and for good reason, because all of the analysis and the millions of charts that you've studied, Webby, over time are informing your analysis. What about just in case to the upside? What would you be watching for if the recovery continues to unfold? Of course, going back to that 50% retracement of Thursday's bar, but what else?
It's how your leaders are acting. So the leading stocks in the market. So, and this is something that I got from Bill, is that he would have us focus on how many of the leaders are broken or damaged or not. And right now, very few of the leading stocks have broken. I mean, we had a couple like Elf and things that got hit bad this week, but for the most part, the leaders are still intact and haven't done anything wrong. So to answer your question,
what comes to mind? Leading stock,
like NVIDIA.
Yeah.
NVIDIA. I mean, that's the one everyone cares about, right? Mm-hmm. So on the downside, you're looking at a pullback to the 50-day or 800 level, right? But on the upside, if we can take out yesterday's high then that'll probably drag the rest of the market with it.
Yeah. Great. And I'm sorry I interrupted you there, but any other thoughts on just looking at how the leading stocks are acting and how that is going to inform your positioning?
Yeah. So if the leading stocks are start recovering in a nice way, that is going to be an early sign to start putting the gas pedal back on. You want to be very flexible in the moment. You don't want just one bad day's action, or really it was just like an hour or two worth of action yesterday to kind of dislodge you from what the intermediate trend is. And the intermediate trend is certainly up, has been up and strong, but you do want to make sure that you're paying attention to all of the signs. So what I would do is I would look at your watch list of your leading stocks. And if you don't have one, you can use the IBD Live watch list that mm-hmm. I put together. I think there's mm-hmm. over 300 stocks in there, not all of the same caliber. But I would look at those and see of the better quality ones, are they starting to move up on Monday or Tuesday in any meaningful way? And if so, then you're more likely to put on the gas. A lot of today's action was very, very constructive. If we had today without yesterday, I would be very bullish. But right now I'm not bearish at all. Mm-hmm. I'm just cautious and, you know, I've kind of seen this game before and it looks like, you know, it needs to rest. Doesn't mean that it will.
Right. Yep. Like you always say, be flexible, take things day by day. Super, super important. Okay. So now that we've talked about sort of the game plan for what to do for these different scenarios that could unfold, how about let's wrap things up with a look at some notable tickers from this week. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, well, let's start off with Meta, one of the Magnificent Seven stocks, up 3.2% on Friday. And for the week, Webby, up 8.6%. Looks like a very strong close for the week, bouncing off support at the 10-week line, getting above that round number at 500. And this was a stock added to SwingTrader earlier in the week as it was bouncing off of the 21-day line. So your thoughts on how Meta is acting?
Zuck, I really can't talk right now. I'm on air.
Zuck. Save it for later.
I'll talk about your, I'll say good things. I'll say, okay. Sorry. You know, Zuck likes to call me all the time.
He does.
He's always listening.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's an old joke. So look, this is one of the Mag 7, one of the biggest stocks in the market, one of the most important ones. Let's go out to the weekly real quick.
Yeah.
So you can see after it bottomed there in December of 22 in that general area, it's had this really nice move. In fact, let's go out to the monthly just for a second mm-hmm. to see. This has been a great stock and it just fell apart. And sometimes great stocks can come back. This is more unusual than it is normal to fall that much and come back this strongly to lead again. So that's a sign that they might have a lot left in there to go higher. So we have a positive bias towards this. And you can see that relative strength line versus mm-hmm. its long-term moving averages.
Way above.
It's well above it. So it's been leading for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now we'll toggle back to the daily. And it broke out of this little kind of very short, just a little bit shy of a flat base. But yeah, this nice downtrend that broke. We put this on SwingTrader, a product that I'm running with Justin and Dominic and Chris now. And I'm so excited to be doing that again. So we put that on and it's had a nice move up. We think it's going to go a lot higher and look at that RS line. Just it's screaming, screaming. And yeah, we just went over your old high, the 523.57. And so now that it was able to close above that on a Friday, so a Friday close is the most important of the week. this should move higher. So it kind of goes back to your question of what would I be looking for from a positive would be this move continuing. If this were to reverse and then get down back under 500, a breakout failure of a mega cap, that would put me very defensive quickly. So this, if the market is for real, this one should keep going higher. And I think it looks very good right here.
Yeah. Key stock to be looking at and tracking.
Yeah, okay. It's really not even too, from a swing trade, it's probably too extended, but from a normal position trade, you could use that level to be buying, but you really wouldn't, you've got to expect that your risk level could be your 21 day, which is right around 500.
Yeah. Keeping an eye on those levels. Okay. Another stock we've been keeping an eye on this week is Spotify. Definitely extended here. We're not talking about this because it's in position or anything, but just because it was a standout mover for the week. Friday alone up 4.9%. And for the week here, Webby, wow, up almost 18%. So a fantastic week for Spotify. This was added to SwingTrader on Tuesday, right? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yep. Before the explosive move on some news, but it continued that strength.
Yeah. And that was a sign that my, I guess my, my take on the market might be wrong as far as being so, you know, concerned about yesterday's action, because we did have this good action today in Meta, in Spotify, and in some other stocks that are just kind of completely ignoring what the market's doing and just powering higher. And this is a great product to use. This is the one I've tested out. I love music and podcasts, huge fan of podcasts. IBD had a podcast this week.
Yeah. And this is actually a podcast. Did you know?
Oh, it is a podcast.
No, we're going to, we distribute this to Spotify too.
Oh my God. I did not know that. And I'm so excited. I love Spotify. You know, I've tried out all of them. It's the best one. And that does bias me towards a stock. And that was something that I got from Peter Lynch's book. Bill was a big fan of Peter Lynch. And if you don't know it, know him or what he was about, is just invest in what you know. The products you use, pull up the chart, look at the fundamentals, see if they match. And so that kind of gravitated me towards Spotify. And yes, it's too extended to buy right now, but because of this power and being able to move through 300, like it wasn't even there. I think this has a long way to go. So you want to keep an eye on it for either a pullback or for it to tighten up. And since we're talking about Spotify, one of my favorite artists out there, Marcus King, just has his new album out, came out today on Spotify. I was up at 4 o'clock listening to it, listened to it 3 times a day. Great stuff. You should check it out again. Right. That was Marcus King on Spotify. It sounds better than on Amazon or on iTunes.
You know, Webby, I wasn't listening to you because I was drinking my Celsius.
Oh, product placement.
I'm just love kidding. It. But you know, you said the Peter Lynch thing, so we might as well go to Celsius. I'm not in this stock, but it is looking interesting. It's perking up. Getting some energy back today.
It sure is. Nice levels of caffeine in there. Let's go to the weekly on it, because I think the weekly is the most important on this one.
Yeah.
So it broke out of that kind of sloppy base there. It frankly, it was not a good base, but it's, you know, it's people love the product, seems to be selling well. They've got, you know, good distribution deals, and it had that power from pivot, which if you use market surge, you'll see that 44%. That means that it broke out, and within 3 weeks, it went up more than 20%. In this case, 44%. So that's why we market. And that was a special thing that Bill's had that kind of signaled that, you know, this stock might be have a huge move ahead of it. So he would hold it for 8 weeks at that point, as long as it didn't go negative. I'm not in it. You're not in it right now, but I tell you, this is acting exactly as it should. Like you marked on there, It pulled back down to its 10-week line and got nice support. Now let's toggle back to the daily. Mm-hmm. Closed at the highs. What's the closing range on that today? Probably in the 90s, I would imagine.
Let's see, 88.
88, so pretty close. You know, so when we were talking about the closing range, that's what you're looking for, something that closes up near the top of the bar and close back above its 21-day. Mm-hmm. So if you're, you know, this is something that could have been bought today if you were in a mode to be buying stocks. And if you bought it today, you always want to know where your exit point should be. And I would have used, yeah, today's low, or at most the low from 2 days ago. But once it goes below that, you know that maybe it needs to build a base or it needs more work. But this is something I'm certainly looking at for next week. We would have considered it for Swing Trader today, but we just wanted to kind of sit on our hands and do nothing and kind of see how the market mm-hmm. handled all of the action, you know, post jobs numbers and post all the, you know, the sell-off that we had yesterday. But this is when you do your screening this weekend, which you should be doing a lot of, or use the Growth 250 if you don't have time to build screens. This is one that should be in there and one that's, you know, really kind of actionable as a pullback to the 10-week line.
Absolutely. Okay. We'll have to see what happens next week. And now we want to close out with a look at ServiceNow, one that you wanted to highlight, Webby. I was buying this on the follow-through day and adding on the 10-week. It's gotten a little more difficult, but I am trying to sit through the base just given the fact that it does have those leadership qualities. But let's chat about this one too. I want to do price scale standard here. Go
Thank
for it.
Thank you. Let's go to the monthly. So whenever you're looking, and you can do best fit on the monthly so we can get it all in. So when you're looking at a stock, you want to start off looking at the monthly to know the character of the stock. And has it ever had a big run before? And that's something Bill would always do. He would look at a stock, and even if it was 15 years ago or 20 years ago, he'd say, okay, it was once a leader. It could be a leader again. This had a huge move. It was a clear leader. And it's got this giant cup with handle that it broke out of on a monthly basis. And on a monthly basis, that RS line is still above its moving averages. It's not far above it, but it's still above it, which is constructive. Yeah, beautiful cup with handle there. Now let's go to the weekly on it. Mm-hmm. And now the base has got some problems in there where mm-hmm. when you do a week by week analysis, it's got 3 weeks tight, which is constructive, but that bad week in there, the second red week, widespread closing at your lows, closing underneath the 10-week line, that's problematic. But the rest of the base kind of makes up for it. So it's not perfect, but this is more of a fundamental play where it's in position, it's base building, and that RS line, you can see it's starting to perk back above those moving averages. And I prefer to not buy stocks unless they're above those move. The RS line is above those moving averages. Now let's toggle over to the daily.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to get into it, but if you want to know more about the RS moving averages, check out this week's Investing with IBD podcast where Webby gets into the weeds with the RS moving averages. So
I could have gotten deeper in the weeds, but you know, they wouldn't let me ramble on. So with this, this is set up nicely and you see that RS line is poking through there. And this was on the bubble. We almost put it on Swing Trader today, but again, I wanted to sit on our hands, and it's right there at that declining trend line as you drew. So right here, it's pretty much actionable. Then if it takes out 800, which is a round number that goes back to the Jesse Livermore days of, you know, 100 years ago, where he noticed that round numbers like 100, 200, even 50, you know, in any $10 increments are important, but century marks are more important. So as it goes through there, you could add to it because you want to add to a winning trade. As it goes over the 807.77, mm-hmm. You could add to it. And then if you still had room, by the time that it finally gets up to the 815.32, you could add to it. If you wait, just a note of caution when you're using patterns, you can take off those lines for now.
Sure.
If you wait until it breaks out, lots of times you're going to get shaken out because you'll have these normal pullbacks to your pivot. So if you can find an alternative pivot in the base, you're going to get a kind of a head start on everybody, and you're going to have a lower cost basis that will allow you to survive those normal and natural pullbacks. About half the stocks will pull back into their pivot. It can get very frustrating. So finding alternative pivots on a stock will really help you out. So again, just to kind of recap on this, the RS lines are moving through. It's pretty much actionable here as an alternative pivot using the downtrend line that we use. Mm-hmm. Around 800 would be another buy, 807.77. And if you still need a little bit more, the 815.32. But you always want to have a stop on every trade. So if you're in there, certainly a break back below the 50-day or today's low, you would have to say, you know what, I'm just going to exit this and I'll come back into this at another time.
Great analysis, Webby. Couldn't agree more. Thank you for that. Okay, so as we wrap, I know this one was kind of long, but it's your first show. It's your first show back. It's your first show back. We may get a little, you know, snappier as these go on, but we love the Fridays going in depth. That's why we wanted you back and wanted you to do this, because so many great insights and actionable thoughts, whether it's with screening or how to position, what you're looking for. So we really appreciate it. So any final closing words?
Stay flexible. Do a lot of work this weekend. Be prepared for any outcome on Monday. So come Monday, have your plan in place, whether it's your defensive plan, we're just chopping around, or your offensive plan, because you want to be prepared for any outcome and stay flexible. One thing that I always learned from Bill is we would talk on Sunday nights for 15 years. I know everyone's heard this a million times, but he would be bullish or bearish on the weekend, on Sunday, and let's say super bearish, thinking, okay, we're going to have a major correction. You know, a couple days later, something changes in the market and he would change on a dime and flip 180. And that's just what you have to be able to do. And it's based off of what the market is doing. So to kind of sum everything up, if our low can get back above our 21-day and or we get these leading stocks breaking out. So let's say on Monday, you know, this stock is trading through 800, Meta's going up. Some of the other stocks that recently broke out are continuing higher. Then you know what? We know that Thursday was just a one-day wonder. But if not, you know, you also have your game plan that if you're coming into your 50-day, you want to know what stocks you're going to sell first and what stocks you want to hold on to until the very end.
Great. Well, thank you, Webby, and looking forward to having you back on IEBD Live on Monday morning. So the two of us, along with the rest of our panel, we'll see you there. We hope everyone has a great weekend, and we'll see you back here next week. This show is for informational and educational purposes only, and nothing should be construed as a recommendation to buy, hold, or sell any securities. Any securities and investment strategies discussed may not be suitable for all investors. Make sure to consider consulting with your financial advisor before making investment decisions.